It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Got a busy night of baseball tonight, and then we all relax and get ready for football. Mets are wrapping up their three-gamer against the Boston Red Sox. They remain red-hot, winning last night. Another festive night at Citi Field with Francisco Lindor doing amazing things. David Peterson throwing a hell of a game, and the red-hot Mets have now won 6 in a row. The Yankees are coming off that devastating loss last night against Texas. Marcus Stroman against Nate Eovaldi. We'll get to more baseball as the show rolls on a little bit. We'll get to your calls. We started with the baseball back at 2. If you want to rewind on the Odyssey app, we spent a little bit of time talking about the Giants as they get set for Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. I am very jealous of that. That I admit. I remember I had this feeling last year, and it really didn't hit me until right around now. And that is the fact that you guys on Sunday at 1 o'clock have your Christmas. It's Christmas morning. You're opening up your presents.
Christmas in September.
Yeah. The Giants and the Vikings is your Christmas. All three of you, because you're all Giant fans. Tiki's a Giant legend. Sean's a Giant fanboy. Loogie's a Giant positive guy. You're all Giant guys.
Right.
And I respect that. I respect all of you guys. And I can't wait till 1 o'clock on Sunday. I'll be excited, too.
Right.
But I'm watching you open presents.
Right. Well, just like Christmas for me and Tracy, I'll be opening my present at like 7 o'clock at night.
Is that what you do?
That's what we do.
And she waits till Christmas morning?
She waits. No. The kids open their gifts Christmas morning, and her and I open our gifts at like 7 o'clock at night.
Is it like adult gifts or something?
No. Oh. She just wants the kids to have their own time.
I got you. So you kind of separate.
Right, and then we'll do our own thing later.
Interesting.
This is what it is.
I mean, I respect that, but that's your choice.
It is
and
our
I respect
choice.
That.
But I'm just laying it out there because that's what I'll be doing for my Christmas on Sunday. Because I'll be in Indianapolis calling the Texans in the Colts game.
That's right.
And then I'll watch the game for the Giants at 7 o'clock.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
So Christmas morning and Christmas day, it's all one day for you.
Of course.
Okay. When's my Christmas?
Monday?
Monday. Mm. So let me get this straight. We get Kansas City, Baltimore tomorrow. Great. Everybody loves it.
Yep.
We get a Friday night game in Brazil.
Eagles, right?
Fantastic. Eagles against the Packers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We get our traditional football Sunday, which includes the New York Giants. We get a Sunday night game. And then we all have to go to work and go to school and talk about it on the radio. And everyone's opened up their gifts. And then we, as in Jet fans, have to wait.
Yes, but your gift is special.
Why is it special?
Because it's standalone. It's on a day all to itself.
I know, but I have to wait longer.
It's so that everyone can either celebrate with you or mock you.
Mock us, yes. That's
it's all there for the whole world to see.
But I have to wait longer.
I know.
You don't see the frustration in that just a little bit?
The best things come to those who wait.
I would sign for an annual tradition of the Giants being the Monday night opener every year.
Really?
Because I love football. We all love football. And the idea that I don't have to have potentially bad football ruin the rest of the football, I like it at the
that
end.
That is a very positive way to look at it. I can't
it
disagree
makes sense.
That it would
yeah.
ruin my Sunday.
When your team loses at 1, Tiki,
yeah.
it ruins the rest sucks, of your day. Sunday
but the other
sucks.
Thing is, when it's Monday night, I don't want to say you're footballed out because I don't think that's a possible thing, but you're like exhausted from football.
Right.
And so if you're watching your team, you're excited about it, but you're also kind of just kind of, if it goes bad, you easily can just move off of it.
Not really.
I feel exhausted on Monday night.
No, I agree with that. Not week one necessarily, but you know, maybe
yeah, probably not week one. But I'm just saying, in general, on Monday nights, it's kind of like, oh, I guess I gotta watch this game, but it is what it is.
But
so if it's your team, it's kind of I don't know. You're just, I feel more insulated against negativity.
I understand that. I understand Sean's point about it not ruining my Sunday, which I agree with. But at the end of the day, you're all opening up your gifts and I have to wait. And that's very difficult for like most human beings. Mm. Most human beings want to open up their Hanukkah gifts on Hanukkah. They don't want to wait till the day after. Most people want to open up their gifts on Christmas morning or on their birthday. Well, they don't want to wait till the day after.
On Hanukkah, don't you open a gift every day?
Yeah, well, you got like 7 days. Hold on a second. 8 days.
Eight days.
My point is, you don't want to have to wait till it's over. Football Sunday is a holiday. I got to wait. And I had this feeling last year, and I remember it being frustrating. And then, yes, Monday was glorious in the moment, but it's tough waiting, man.
But you're opening up everyone else's gifts. You're enjoying everyone else's team. You're enjoying your fantasy team. You're enjoying your bets. Teak, your daughter Brooklyn does the dance competition?
Yes, or cheer.
Okay, so you have to sit there. Let's say she's the main event. You have to watch all these other kids dance.
Oh, yeah, it takes forever.
That sucks. This doesn't suck. You get to watch football, 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 and then you're the main attraction. You're the main event of WrestleMania, Evan. Yeah. And no matter what happens at 1 o'clock, I still have the Jets Monday night. I like that, to Sean's point. At 1 o'clock, if the Giants lose, you're like, I got to watch the Steelers.
Yeah, you don't feel like watching any more football.
You do it because you love football, but yeah, your mood's down.
I still have to wait. I don't like waiting. I mean, I've been waiting for months. We've all been waiting for months. In fact, you could argue I've been waiting for a year and a half to watch this old man play quarterback. And I got to wait longer.
It's true. However, you might have to wait for your presents, but it's much better having the separate presents than what we have week 2, which is both teams at 1 o'clock.
Oh, God, I know. I hate that.
That's a crappy Christmas.
Yeah, I don't like that one. That one we got to change. You got to talk to people at the NFL, Teak. You got power.
It's not. It's a computer.
What do you mean it's a computer?
A computer does the schedule, and eventually Roger and the people powers that be, they decide, oh, this one looks the best.
Well, no, they have to change the times. The Jets and Giants both can't be playing at 1 o'clock. That's a national disgrace.
Well, when the Jets and the Giants both get really good, then they won't both play at 1 o'clock.
Well, the Jets are on their way. We'll see about the Giants. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Sean in Flushing. How you doing, Sean?
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're good, Sean.
Good. So, I'm very excited about Sunday. You mentioned something earlier about fans being, completely just irrational about their teams. And from a fan perspective, I just want to, because I understand your history as a collegiate athlete and a pro, you didn't really start your fandom until later in life.
Right.
So,
well, I did. It just got derailed because I grew up a Washington fan. Right. And then all of a sudden my loyalties had to change when the paycheck started coming from the Meadowlands.
Well, you're a smart guy. That's what that means. But, so basically, there are levels of fans, and then you have guys like, not a cheap plug, but I own a bar in Whitestone, and we're all fans. It's like a quasi dive bar sports bar.
Right.
We have fans of all levels, and the guys who don't really know like what they're talking about, they just want to be included in the conversation. So, I feel like a lot of those predictions come from people like on that level.
Right.
But, from a fan like myself and like Ev and like Sean and,
diehards.
I think that the diehards, when you get guys, like Tommy, when you get guys that, are a little bit irrational with their teams, I think it goes back to what you said earlier. Also, there's a couple of surprises almost every season. So if you have somewhat of a decent personnel and a good coaching staff, and I firmly believe in this leadership, I don't care what happens this year. I love these guys. I think we have finally we have some kind of a game plan. Like with the Mets, with both of my teams, I'm like super excited with the leadership, and it starts there. So,
yeah. So you're a Tommy guy. You're like Lugie. Mets and Giants.
I'm one of those rare Met Giant fans.
Right. You're not wrong about the leadership, because leadership matters so much.
Yeah.
And I think for teams that have frustrated fan bases, it's because
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Plan. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? What's the direction? If this doesn't work out, what's plan B type of situation? It feels like the Mets, even though they're just in the nascent stages of this, have a plan for what's going to happen going forward. Pete Alonso and some other pieces are still kind of question marks, but it does feel like there's a plan. I think the Giants feel like they're executing a plan. Now, a lot of it's going to depend on the quarterback. And we'll get to this in a minute, but, you know, Joe Shane is everywhere. And he shows up on Hard Knocks with the Bears.
The Bears Hard Knocks.
Not his Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
The Bears Hard Knocks talking about Daniel Jones again.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, they have a plan, but it might not be complete because the quarterback might not be exactly what they're looking for.
A couple of things I took from our last caller. And I think this is very normal behavior. I think this is the behavior that a lot of Met fans had coming into the Met season. Where if we're just sitting here talking X's and O's, trying to break down, okay, the Giants going to be good. You know, I gave a positive view on how I think they can win eight games, but I also know it's going against the grain right now. The Giants aren't expected to be good. But I think going into the start of any sports calendar, you want to have hope.
Of course.
You want to believe. And luckily, football and baseball and hockey, not as much basketball, unfortunately, you always have a handful of teams that will shock you. And luckily, some Met fans, because I thought the Mets were going to be decent this year. I'm not shocked by them. I thought they'd win 86, 87 games. So I'm, as of now, sort of on pace for that. But for a lot of Met fans, they didn't expect them to be good. And so they're coming into a football season in which they just got surprised by their baseball team. And if you're a Giant fan, 2 years ago, they had horribly low expectations.
Yep.
And they made the playoffs and won a playoff game. I get the sense from our last caller and from a lot of Giant fans that you don't think they're going to be good. But you're hopeful that they're going to be good because it's the start of a football season. You don't want to waste your time watching badness for 17 weeks. And you also have a head coach that was the architect of a team that 2 years ago, shockingly, was better than you thought.
Yes. And won a playoff game.
Yeah,
and so that's where you want them to be. You want to be getting to the playoffs and then see what happens type of situation. Now, that year, 2 years ago, you just ran up against the behemoth and the Eagles. And the Eagles were great that year. Interestingly, the Eagles are on a question mark this year for some reason, even though they have a ton of talent. And they've levered themselves with all the contracts that they brought in. But still, it feels like the Giants are, to me, they are a team that has gotten better. But they're not on par, talent-wise, with some of the other teams that are tops in the NFC.
But you know what's great? They weren't on par talent-wise with anybody else two years ago.
That's where coaching matters.
And they won, and they made the playoffs.
It's where coaching and having the right game plans, for, you know, lack of a better description, matter. And I think the Giants have that. At least I hope they do.
At least I hope they do. Well, we all do. Let's go to Flavio in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Flavio?
Hey, boys.
Yo.
Great show. Love you guys. Speaking as a Giants fan. Always love watching you on the field.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for your service. And Evan had the chance to take a picture with you at opening day at Yankee Stadium.
Nice.
Thank you for being so cordial.
No problem.
It was a little creepy. It was right outside the men's room.
That's okay.
Very nice, nevertheless, with your Jets hoodie and your Islander cap.
That's right. That's what I do when I go to Yankee games. I try to show the other teams I like while showing respect.
I love it. Mean?
Thank you.
Absolutely. You didn't have any Mets garb. That was great.
That's right.
I wanted to touch a little bit on the Giants and the Jets. And then I have an idea how to get the most out of the players. First of all, the Giants. Was that Tommy that was saying that they're going to win 11 games?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
On what planet are the Giants going to win 11 games in the NFL this year? It's not a chance. If they win Sunday, my feeling is, defense is going to win that game. Hopefully Daniel Jones will have a great game.
I agree with you.
But defense, it's going to be a pick six. It's going to be a sack and a fumble. Defense is going to play big on Sunday. And I'm hoping that Jones has a great year. And for the Jets, I don't understand. I don't understand how you hold, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, torn Achilles, he doesn't play a single preseason game. Mm. His first game is going to be Monday night.
You know why, though? Yeah. Because it doesn't matter. These preseason games aren't even like preseason games anymore.
I was having this conversation last night. I feel like the preseason has been marginalized, and that's why the third preseason game is going away. They're going to be 18 regular season games because the preseason is just another opportunity for guys to get hurt.
Yes.
Right? It's a meaningless game where guys are going to get hurt, and coaches don't take it seriously. That's a direct quote from Roger Goodell. Coaches don't take it seriously, so they're going to get rid of it. But what we've seen is all of these joint practices with other teams, which is essentially the same thing, except your quarterback is fully protected.
Yeah.
Your quarterback is not getting hit.
And you're not charging, you know, customers top dollar to go watch it.
Exactly right. And so these joint but teams are, you know, the Quest Diagnostic Center has 4,000 people or however many people show up there, and it's a great intimate type of watch a joint practice or the same thing over I forget what the Jets facility is called. They're there. The fans
Atlantic
come.
Health.
Atlantic Health, exactly. So their fans are there, and the team enjoys it more than a meaningless preseason
game. Well, that's why Aaron Rodgers not playing in the preseason is completely irrelevant, because he did sort of play in the preseason, just not in the traditional sense of a game that's overpriced in a stadium.
Right. The old school way, and I've heard so many old school guys like me talk about this. Oh, we used to play, you know, a quarter in the first game, a half in the second game, and go into the third quarter in the third game, and we wouldn't play it all into the fourth game. And that'd be all the rookies and the young players, the guys trying to make the team a specialist. And like, that's gone.
Yeah.
It's over. It's done. We used to also never have joint practices. I mean, maybe we'd have one. I think I did two in my 4 years, and one of them lasted about 45 minutes because the Jets and us got in a fight, and they got back on their bus and went home.
Right.
So I feel like the game has changed how they're protecting players from real game-type situations. And the preseason is not worth it.
It doesn't matter that Aaron Rodgers didn't play.
It's not worth it.
What adds to the mystery of Aaron Rodgers on Monday is that he has been a Jet for about 18 months, right? About 18 months now, he's been a Jet. We've barely seen him play football in that Jet jersey. We saw two drives against the Giants in the preseason last year and four snaps against Buffalo. So when a baseball team like the Yankees or the Mets acquires a big superstar, you get an entire spring training to watch them play.
Right.
And I know it doesn't count, but you sort of get used to it. By the time you get to opening day, you're like, oh, I've seen Johan Santana as a Met. Oh, I've seen Juan Soto as a Yankee. This Aaron Rodgers Jet thing is still very weird.
Yeah.
I'm still not fully used to it.
Because you haven't seen it yet.
We barely.
Right. You don't know it. You haven't experienced a high or a low. You just, well, I guess you did feel a low, but not an in-game high or low.
No, it was the low of catastrophe. Ah. That's why I was thinking about this the other day. And I was having this discussion with a friend of mine. They were talking about our most painful sports moments. And I started realizing that the things that are most painful to me are the things that make me feel deja vu. So, for example, when the Mets lost game one of the World Series to the Royals, it was really, really painful because it made me think of the 2000 World Series to the Yankees. The Mets closing down Shea Stadium made me think of the year earlier. The Jets losing to the Steelers made me think of a year earlier. Deja vu is the worst feeling in the world. And I realized that if Aaron Rodgers at any moment has any kind of pain on Monday night, and dare I say it's the worst kind of pain, I think that would be the worst deja vu feeling a sports fan could humanly have.
Because then he would be basically retiring without ever having contributed to the Jets.
That is a fear. Like, if he goes down Monday night against the Niners, I'll save you the trouble from debating it. It would be my most painful sports moment as a fan.
What if they return a punt to win in overtime?
No. I've learned my lesson. Trust me. I was fired up last year. There was a naivete.
Right.
There's no naivete. If Aaron Rodgers got hurt again on a Monday night, and we've barely seen him play for 2 years, that could be the moment that breaks me as a sports
fan. And remember who's on the Niners now.
I know, Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd. We talked about deja vu. Leonard Floyd is on the Niners.
Which is funny, because Andrew Van Ginkle is now on the Vikings, and that's who took Daniel Jones' neck off.
That's right.
There you go. See, it all comes together.
Well, week one injury watch.
Always got to make it about yourself.
Well, I was trying to save you.
I'm just kidding. Save me. Save me from what?
You're putting injuries in the air. We don't need that for my 16-win prediction.
I'm not putting injuries in the air. I'm merely saying that that is a scare. It's on the back of our minds as Jet fans.
Tyrod Taylor as the starting quarterback for the Jets. How many wins?
Well, he'll last 2 weeks, so the question is, who's third up? Peasley on the practice squad?
No, Adrian Martinez.
Oh, Adrian Martinez. All right, so six.
That is a great question, by the way, Teak. If in this fictitious world that I wish never existed, that Aaron Rodgers got hurt again, and Tyrod Taylor actually stays healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, we play the game of he's healthy.
Oh, he stays healthy.
Yeah, we just to be fair about the game. A healthy Tyrod Taylor. How many games did the Jets win? It's a great question.
I'd say nine or nine.
So playoff team.
Yeah, playoff team. I would say eight.
You say eight?
Yeah.
So you're giving...
They're about a 500 team.
Hold on a second. So Sean Morash thinks the Jets are winning 16 games, but if Aaron Rodgers is hurt, you're going to cut that total in half. You think he's that valuable that he doubles the win total?
It's a combination of things. I think his value on the field in playing is one thing. I think his value that locker room basically idolizes and follows him is another thing that Tyrod Taylor can't bring. And thirdly...
That is true. It's a different aura that he brings. It is an aura.
Totally get it.
I think Tyrod Taylor is the consummate pro. I heard obviously nothing but great things. The fact of the matter is, watching him play sporadically slash enough the last 2 years... I had to refrain back from calling him a great backup quarterback. There were moments like Buffalo, the time and place at the end.
Oh, I give you that.
There are things that drove me nuts. Not being able to complete simple to you. His deep ball tantalizes you. That's the only thing I'll caution you on. Let's pump the brakes on how great a backup quarterback he is. We just lived it in Giant World.
Well, I think the biggest problem with Tyrod Taylor as a backup, which kind of eliminates the game we just played, is that he doesn't stay healthy.
That's absolutely
so when I ask you, he's going to hypothetically stay healthy, that's usually not the case. But the injury thing is in the back of our minds. Like, how can it not be?
Yeah. Because he's 40. And we assume, and we keep making this assumption because Tom Brady did it so effortlessly till he was 46. 45, whatever he was his last season. We assume that's going to be okay for everybody.
Right.
I was talking to someone about the Falcons and how they're really all in. And it's like, why did they draft a quarterback? Because Kirk Cousins is 37 years old.
Off an Achilles. Yeah.
And like in people's minds, like, yeah, he's only 37. I'm like, 37 is old.
Well, not only that, let me add to this with this point. Even though I would be okay with this and I would take my chances. So Aaron Rodgers missed all of last year with a torn Achilles. We all know that. A year earlier, while he went out and played, he had his worst year as a pro.
Right.
And the reason widely accepted the worst year of his pro is because he basically played with a fractured thumb, which I give him credit for. We all say he's tough.
That
it's
happened
fantastic.
Against the Giants. Too,
it happened it? Against the Giants, 1,000%.
In London.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
And it affected him the rest of the season. And it's a part of why Green Bay missed the playoffs. Now, I also say scar tissue as a Jet fan. The same can be said about Brett Favre. The Jets were 8-3. Favre was playing great. He got hurt. He played through it. It ruined their season. So sometimes injuries aren't just he's out for the year, we're not seeing him. Sometimes their injuries are things that greatly affect a player. And the other thing that's the reason it's in the back of my mind is when I went to Jets-Giants, I was explaining football to both of my sons, and Jet, my oldest son, not named after the Jets, but what a happy coincidence, said he thinks Aaron Rodgers is getting hurt again.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to see Evan get mad? Evan, if Aaron Rodgers in this hypothetical world is getting hurt, wouldn't you rather it be week one as opposed to week nine so you can get in on, like, Shador Sanders and Tank?
Oh, God.
But that would be for the good of the franchise.
Stop with this tanking. I'm not a tanker.
Would it be tank for Shador or tank for Quinn?
don't do this to me.
Yeah.
All you need to know about my opinion on tanking, and I hope you respect this instead of mocking it.
Losers for you.
Or tank for Carson.
Yeah. What the heck? Tank for Beck.
Yes, what the heck?
You guys are having fun with this. Yeah. Just keep going. Let me know when you're done.
Let's go non-alcoholic.
Yeah. Throw a dart. We want dart.
I'm so against tanking that when the basketball season starts, I'm still rooting for my team to win.
Yeah. Well, the good news is you can root for the Knicks to lose because you got their first round pick.
That's right. A fair point. We'll come back with more of your calls. Plus, Tiggy alluded to something that needs to be brought up. Why is Joe Shane continuously going out of his way to basically remind the world that Daniel Jones stinks? We'll try to figure that out coming up. Plus, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki here on the Fan Yankee Baseball Tonight out in Texas. Wrapping up their three-game series, and we'll see if the vibes can stay high at Citi Field as the Mets are going to try to sweep the Boston Red Sox and make this 7 in a row. Speaking of baseball, it's your time for your baseball IQ trivia question, and it's presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. Now, we all know the Mets have never had an MVP. It's never happened. Never had a guy win the MVP.
Interesting.
There's been a lot of talk this year about Francisco Lindor.
Who got closest? Piazza?
Well, hold on. Let's not spoil any questions here. Our trivia question is, name the three Mets that finished second in the NL MVP voting.
So Piazza was definitely one.
Are you going to call up the contest line right now?
I mean, he had to have been,
because if you are the sixth caller at 888-866-540-WFAN, you could try to answer your baseball IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. So if you want, here's my, oh, you have your own cell phone.
Yep.
I think he's eligible to win. Mm. You can call up and see if you can get it right. But you've got to name all of them. There's three Mets that finished second in the NL MVP voting, and that's the closest the Mets have ever gotten. They've obviously never had anyone win, and three times in their history, there was a Met that finished number two. How about that?
Do you know?
I do know.
You knew from just knowledge.
So, sort of. The only thing I knew, I don't want to give away the answer. There's one of which I 1,000% knew, and then I was like, has there ever been other examples of it? And so as Lindor has been on this tear, I've started to look into the Mets' kind of weird history of not having an MVP. So upon looking at it, I was like, okay. Because here's the thing about Francisco Lindor.
Oh, I know one. All right, before Lou Gehrig has a heart attack, let's stop talking about this for like an hour.
Well, I'm not talking about who the answers are. That's Tiki speculative over here.
I'm just trying to help out the callers.
All I was going to say.
Just pick up the phone and guess. I would just guess it. But I do know one off the top of my head.
Are you that confident about it, though?
I'm positive.
You're positive?
I'm positive I know one.
I can't. I won't confirm if you're right or wrong, but tell me who you're positive about.
I'm not going to.
Because I don't think you know.
I don't want Loogie to get upset about
it. Okay, fair enough. Well, I was going to give Loogie this. Let me give him some love here. Francisco Lindor, without a shadow of a doubt, is now officially in the conversation. And I gave Loogie crap about that when he said, Lindor is an MVP candidate.
I mean, he has the highest F war. I don't know what his B war is. But he's got the highest F war in the National League.
F war, by the way, is Fangraphs war. Yeah. B war is Baseball Reference.
Right. He's got the highest F war. Yeah. He's got the highest fielding war, right, in Major League Baseball. He's just a stud.
No, he has become, and I think there's a myriad of reasons for this, where what I argued with Loogie about a month and a half ago was he could be in the conversation, but he's not yet. That was the argument we had.
Yes.
And I laid out how it could happen. I will admit, it has now happened. He's definitely in the conversation.
No, he's not.
No, he is in the conversation.
No, he's not.
There's a conversation.
No, there's actually, and this is not me disagreeing that he should be. When you're I hate the division. When you're a minus 1,100 favorite, the conversation's over. The MVP race, unfortunately for Lindor, is over in the NL, meaning
so you're
there is no conversation.
So what you're doing, and this is the same thing Tommy actually did earlier.
A little different than
is
football.
You're saying the betting line says this, so it's not a conversation.
The books would not, this is more so than Tommy's, expose themselves if there was any shot at anybody else winning other than Otani.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, it's over.
My counter to that is, I think I've been pretty honest about this discussion. Like, again, I fought with Tommy in a friendly way that it's not a conversation. I'm just being an independent baseball observer. I'm trying to, as a diehard Met fan, I'm removing myself. And I'm telling you that I disagree with what Vegas says. It's a conversation.
Okay.
Is he the MVP of the league? You can ask me that. The answer is no, he's not yet. And I will lay out how he can be.
Yes.
He's not yet. But what I am giving ground on, which I think is fair, is that it is now a conversation. Like, you can have it, and I don't think you're obscene for bringing it up.
No, you're not. He's the best defensive shortstop in the game, right? He's been fantastic offensively ever since he moved to the leadoff spot, and he's a great leader for the team. Now, those intangible things aren't going to be taken into account because that's just how they vote these days. It becomes somewhat of a who's most popular great player right now. And that's why Otani, according to Vegas, is minus 1,100.
Mm.
But there is a legitimate argument that Francisco Lindor is more deserving of the MVP than Shohei Otani.
Yes, and where Otani will win to a lot of people are just traditional numbers.
Yes.
He's got a higher batting average. He's got more home runs.
Forget
he's got
he's
more
protected
RBIs.
By Mookie Betts and that's Freddie fine. Freeman and have the best team around him in baseball.
Absolutely. But the traditional statistics will tell you Ohtani's having a far better offensive season. Nobody will argue that.
Right.
The fight back is Lindor plays a position every single day.
And he's great at it.
Ohtani doesn't. He's elite at it. He is one of the better defensive shortstops.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think the Mets rise and how clutch he's been. Now, are those things taken into account? By some people, they are. Mm. Not every voter is monolithic.
Not enough of them. No.
Well, that's different. Not every voter is monolithic. But I want to kind of give you the fact on something you said that's really interesting. Because you talked about the protection Shohei Ohtani's had.
Mm-hmm.
So let's compare that to Francisco Lindor. I actually looked this up. I have the answer. Do you know how many different guys hit behind Francisco Lindor this season?
I'm going to say six.
You can go with six. Six guys.
That's a guess.
Okay. Good.
I'm going to say seven based on his movement in the lineup back up to
one. Oh, right.
Okay. I'm going to go with, what'd you say?
Seven.
Seven. Okay.
I'll just go higher, Bob. Eight.
Including Tyrone Taylor, I believe, for one game.
Yes. The answer is nine.
Get out.
And I'll give you the names. I'll just tell you right now.
How the hell were we all short of that?
Because we take for granted that the Mets have had a very fluctuating lineup, and Francisco Lindor has had not one guy protecting him. It's been multiple guys. Pete Alonso, DJ Stewart.
DJ Stewart.
By the way, that should just make you the MVP.
All right.
Pete Alonso, DJ Stewart, J.D. Martinez, Brandon Nimmo, Harrison Bader, Jose Iglesias, Mark Vientos, Starling Marte, and Tyrone Taylor. It's had nine different guys.
Wow.
Now, are people going to take that into account in the MVP? I don't
know. Of course
not.
But I liked when Vientos was up there.
But I will tell you one thing that's a must. It is an absolute must. I don't want to have this discussion. I think the discussion is closed. It's not a discussion. They have to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That is my rule.
Well, yeah,
if you're going to win the MVP from a guy who's having an incredibly amazing offensive year like Shohei Ohtani on the best team in the National League, I don't give a damn what his protection is. I don't care what position he plays, which is nothing. You have to be a playoff team in a world in which six teams make the playoffs. So to me, if they're not in the playoffs, I never want to hear this discussion again.
I normally hate this argument. I agree with you, by the way, Evan.
Thank you.
Normally hate this the NBA. But Joker could win the MVP every single season. LeBron could have won the MVP every single season. Ohtani, Judge can win the MVP every single year. So I like to fight for the guys like Lindor, like Bobby Witt Jr., who are having these great years. I mean, Ohtani could have it every single year.
Yeah.
So why can't there be a conversation for a guy like Lindor? Then there's never going to be a conversation because Ohtani's on a platform
ever going to be less than what he is.
Right.
Or until he gets old.
Well, the thing about Ohtani is when he does both, and by both I mean pitching, it's not fair. Like, it's over. I mean, we can argue about it all we want.
Because it's the most unique two-way skill that we've ever seen.
1,000%. All he has to do is just be competent as a pitcher. If you put up these offensive numbers, the MVP.
Right. Even, I know the Babe Ruth comparison always gets made.
But it's not a real one.
But it's not real because Babe didn't do it at the same time.
Correct. Babe did not do it. It's a misnomer that we put out there. Ohtani is literally something we've never seen before. So in terms of he could do it every year, this is the year in which he doesn't have that. He's literally just a DH. And his numbers are amazing.
Yeah.
But what he has going for him is he's got amazing stats, and he's the best player on the best team in the National League. I'm not giving the award to a guy that's not in the postseason. And I know that's not all on Lindor, and that may seem unfair to a lot of people listening. I'm sorry. It's honestly the way
but
I feel about it.
It does matter.
It matters to me.
Yeah, and this is why baseball's biggest problem is how much have we migrated modernly? You go to Citi Field, we'll be there tonight. OPS up there instead of batting average, right?
Yeah.
DH is in both leagues now, right? Yet, every year when we have this stupid argument, just change it from MVP to MOP, and then we can stop these stupid debates, because Ohtani is the most outstanding player in the NL,
but he
is not the most valuable player compared to Lindor, which leads to these frustrating debates.
Well, I mean, Lindor is kind of outstanding as well.
Nobody's saying he's not.
He doesn't have me statistically, though.
Is this contest over yet?
Is what contest over?
The one that we just did.
Oh, yes. you really want to know the answer, don't you?
Right.
Yes, it is. We did not get a winner.
We did not get a winner.
Wow.
The person
are we going to run it again?
No. If you don't win,
it's the sixth caller. So if that person didn't get it right, we do not declare a winner. It's not.
They got one right out of three. Unfortunately, you had to get all three.
Okay, can you tell us the one they got right out of three? Because Tiki's very interested in this answer, and I got to feed him
strawberry.
Yes. Strawberry is correct, but they guessed Keith Hernandez was the one they got right.
What are you yelling at me for?
You said I didn't know.
Did he not say,
I don't think Tiki knows?
Yes. You said Mike Piazza!
No. I asked if Mike Piazza was one.
Oh.
And then I said, I know one for sure.
Oh, that was the one you knew?
Strawberry was the one
I knew for sure.
I knew for sure. He should have won the MVP.
Yes.
So apologize, Evan. Yes. I'm sorry.
You're welcome. I mean, you're forgiven.
Thank you. It's like, you're welcome.
That was the one I knew, too. Like, the one that I knew confidently was 1988, which is, like, famous in Met history.
Right.
Kirk Gibson won it. Daryl and Kevin McReynolds sort of split the vote.
Yeah.
And so Gibson...
Because of batting average. Correct?
Well, I think they were just because they were teammates who were both having really good years. So Kirk shouldn't have won the MVP if you look back at the numbers. I know he ended up having...
He had a better batting average.
Right. Who? Kirk Gibson?
Yeah.
I got to look at this. I honestly don't remember that.
I think Daryl was like 260 or something.
Were you analyzing this at one point?
No, I just happened to run across this recently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the one I knew.
And I forget what Gibson was like 330 something.
And he only had 27 home runs, right. I know that. The only other guys that finished second in MVP voting was Keith Hernandez in 1984, okay? So the year after they had acquired him. And the Mets had a very good year that year. Surprisingly good year, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Right. We needed to pay this off, by the way, because we talked about it.
That's right.
So I'm glad I asked.
And the third guy who finished second in the MVP voting is George Thomas Seaver, the great Tom Seaver in 1969 as a pitcher, finished second. Mm. There have been numerous other guys that have finished third. Right. In 1990, Darryl Strawberry finished third.
Right. David Wright finished, what, fourth?
We'll get to David Wright. In 2000, Mike Piazza finished third. Mm. David Wright in 2007, which was one of the great offensive seasons of all time,
right.
He finished fourth.
Fourth. Beltran finished what, in sixth?
Carlos Beltran finished fourth as well. And that's the closest the Mets have come to winning an MVP, which isn't that close. Oh, Gary Carter finished third in 1986. Mm. Doc Gooden finished fourth in 1985.
They've had a bunch of top fives.
Yeah, but I don't think that's close. I think being second is close to me. Like, top five isn't.
No, I'd agree. You're not almost should have won.
Right, right. Jacob deGrom finished fifth in 2018. Lindor right now is top three. I mean, it's Ohtani, me, two, Ozuna, right. And Lindor.
Ozuna, yeah.
And I think Lindor's probably ahead because of the DH factor.
Right.
So those are the three guys that have finished second in Mets history, for those that were curious. But you knew that. You said Piazza. That's why I was
No. I ask if Piazza. I said, is one of them Piazza?
Yes.
I don't know why I'm thinking Piazza.
You're thinking Piazza because David Stearns decided to do Sports Talk Radio a favor the other day. David Stearns sitting at his press conference.
That's exactly why.
And I'll go into details on this on tonight's Rico Brogna if you want to download it. But David Stearns made the comment that Lindor is having one of the best offensive seasons from a position player in the history of the franchise.
Yes.
And that obviously got all of us into, let me think about this.
Right, who's had the best offensive season in the history of the franchise?
And so far, Lindor has not had the best offensive season in the history of the Mets.
David Wright.
To me, it's David Wright 2007, yes. I have a tough time with David Wright 2007 because the Mets choked that year.
They didn't make the postseason.
Right, they choked. They blew a 7.5 game lead with 17 to go. Now, David was not a culprit in the choking, but... It's very difficult to like talk about that season in any kind of positive way.
Mm.
But I think when you look at all the factors involved, that was the best offensive season in Met franchise history. Lindor is not quite there, but I think that's missing the point on Lindor. I really do. It's kind of like what we used to say about Derek Jeter back in the day. Derek Jeter would never put up the numbers of Nomar Garciaparra or Alex Rodriguez or any of his contemporaries, but Yankee fans would say, and they turned out to be right, you just don't get it. You don't watch him every day. Mm-hmm. You don't see the intangibles.
Yeah.
Francisco Lindor has really good numbers. There's no question. But he's been better than even what the numbers tell you.
Yeah.
If you watch the Mets every day and you see his defense, his clutchness, his leadership, everything about him, it's even better than the stats, which are already good.
No, I agree.
So comparing it to 07 David Wright, like we could sit here and do it, and I'll do it on a Rico tonight, but it's missing the greater point of the kind of year Lindor is having.
Yeah, there's so many, and again, I said it before, but it's the intangible things that we don't know about specifically. We can surmise it, and even Buck talked about it on his new job as an analyst, about things behind the scenes that he knows that Francisco Lindor does, but people aren't voting. They're not going to vote on that.
Sometimes they do. I mean, because I think back to like Barry Larkin or Jimmy Rollins winning the MVP. I think intangibles are involved.
Only if it becomes... Like the story.
Right.
Or a big part of the story.
Yeah, them making the playoffs would help that. Would be a big part of that.
But if they don't make the playoffs, it's not even worth it.
No shot. No shot. Right. But that's
not even his fault. That's why it's a criminal for Lindor if they miss the playoffs. I mean, think about it. What'd you say? 88 wins? So they need 13 more wins out of 23? It's So if they just go a little bit over 500, maybe they make the postseason.
And that maybe they enough. Don't. Maybe they don't.
They probably got to win 15 more games.
Yes.
They got to get to 90.
And he would be a big part of it. He's continued to be a big part
of it. And think about that. That's 15-8
right.
over the next 23.
Right.
And then maybe they're comfortably in the postseason.
Well, think about it. Last week would have been 21-8, but they've won six in a row, so now it's only 15-8. Yeah. You know who also did very well with MVP voting? Dom Smith in 2020. I saw that. That made me laugh.
Did he really?
Yeah, because he had a great year, and it was the shortened season because of the pandemic. Yeah, yeah, he finished in the top 15 in MVP voting.
He raked for 55 games.
He did?
Yeah.
No, it was less than 55 games. Actually, no, it was more because it was a 60-game season, right? 60 games? Unbelievable.
Will there be any writers, because it's human nature, that dock against Ohtani because of everything that happened earlier in the year?
No.
That's not in the back of anybody's... Because that went away,
That story doesn't exist anymore.
No, of course, that went away. They made sure
baseball buried it.
Yeah.
That story doesn't exist anymore. I think what would hurt Ohtani is that
even down... We haven't heard Ipe's name in forever.
Yeah, who's Ipe?
Maybe he's the one that bets so much to make those odds go up.
There you go. I think the only thing that would hurt Shohei Ohtani is the fact he's a DH. I don't think we've ever had a DH win the MVP. Like, has there ever been a full-time DH win the MVP? The answer is no.
Jose Abreu in 2020?
That doesn't get... He played first base.
No, wait. Who did he?
First base? I think he played first base. I don't think there's ever been a full-time DH win an MVP, so it'd have to be historic.
Yeah, and it's never done that. Three times World Series MVP, never regular season MVP.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So maybe... Then why are we poo-pooing Francisco Lindor's chances? Because of odds say in Vegas say he's definitely winning.
Because of his offensive numbers being far superior. And they are. Like, I'm not going to argue that. They just are. He has a higher batting average, higher OPS, more home runs, more RBIs, a million stolen bases. He's having an amazing season.
It doesn't affect the game on both sides of the equation.
I know, but what MVP voters would be saying is he impacts the game so much offensively that that's enough to supersede the fact that he doesn't play any defense.
If this war doesn't tell you that.
Can I ask you a dumb question?
Yeah.
Last thing about this. But, all right, we're talking about it. Would you rather have a player, in terms of MVP... who puts up massive numbers and is a butcher defensively, or a guy who just doesn't play defense and is a DH? Like, Ryan Howard won an MVP, and he was horrible defensively. Did that hurt him, or did that help? Well, he plays defense. Thank you.
I don't think Shohei Ohtani would be a butcher defensively.
I agree, but he doesn't play any defense.
He's such a good athlete. The reason he doesn't play defense is because he pitches every 5 days.
Which he's not doing this season.
Of course, but he's also not going to run around in the outfield.
No, but forget, like, you're right that that's the reason, but I'm saying, like, we penalize DHs, but shouldn't we penalize guys who play defense badly more? Shouldn't we? We've had bad defensive players win MVPs, and it's like, well, he plays the field. Well, he sucks at playing the field. Right. Why are we rewarding that?
Right. That's a good question.
I've always been confused by that. Because if you go back in history, there are plenty of guys who are not good defensively who won MVPs, yet we can't have a DH win the MVP.
Well, baseball wants Ohtani to be special. They want him to be the unicorn.
Well, he is special.
Of course he is.
They can want it all day. He's very good.
But even when he's not pitching and not, you know, potentially winning a Cy Young, they want him to be special. Mm-hmm. And so by him winning the MVP as the first and only, probably, actually he might do it. No, he won't because he'll pitch again soon. First and maybe subsequent only DH. It makes him special. Makes him even more special.
Mm.
The first only DH to win an MVP, Shohei Ohtani. You know that that's what it's going to be.
You know what the reality is? Let him win the MVP. Mm. Let the Mets make the playoffs and knock him out in the postseason.
Also, by the time they name the MVP, none of us are going to care because it's in November.
That's the funny part about it. I'll spend more time breaking that down on the Rico Bronya than we will WFAN.
It's so true. It's so ridiculous.
We'll be looking at Giants Panthers in Germany.
It's so ridiculous. Nobody will care.
No, you're right. That's why
unless it's New York. Unless it's someone here.
We didn't even care when Judge won.
No, we won't even care.
Mm. Well, we did because it was such an epic season. It made you revisit his epic season.
If the Mets make the playoffs, okay. The voting goes in. Mets lose in the first round. They lose in the wild card series to the Milwaukee Brewers, okay? Mm-hmm. Hard-fought series, 2-1. We all move on. It's now football season, okay?
Right.
And in the middle of November, the announcement comes out. Lindor edges out Shohei Ohtani, first ever Met to win the MVP.
Yeah.
How much time is this radio station?
It's a one-day story, but it becomes a year-long talking point. For Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about it forever, but in terms of, like, he won the MVP, but people are just going to move on. Right, they're going to be worried about the Jets.
I know that, but it's a one-day story, but it'll exist in the conversation about Lindor for the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah, because especially being the first Met to ever do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that they've never had one.
Yeah.
And honestly, other than a couple of guys finishing second, like we talked about, haven't come close. Let's go to Kendrick and Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, it's good to hear you guys back together. I'm excited for the show heading into football season, but OMG is still alive, and we've put Grimace, we've put everything ahead of Francisco Lindor's greatness this year as to why the Mets are where they are. And I'm happy, finally, that we are talking about MVP seriously for a guy who does deserve it. And
Positive Tom has been doing it for a month.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And he knows that I've heard him loud and clear from day one. And I just wanted to jump on this for a second here while you guys were talking about it. For a few reasons, Lindor is the MVP this year. You know, last time I called, I compared him to Jalen Brunson in that he kind of gave us this steady hand. We knew no matter who's on the other side, we have the best player on the field any given night. And it kind of reminds me of, like, how Randall went down and Pete didn't have the season we were expecting. And Lindor was able to step up and kind of change the culture and the narrative and become that one leader of a team that needs to be there at the helm. And I think for him, the other part of it is looking at the numbers to Evan's argument, you know, the numbers aren't there. But there's a guy in Milwaukee, Willy Adames, who's having a really good statistical year too compared to Lindor as well. But he doesn't have the impact that Lindor has. As a Met fan, I turn on the game to watch the guy play nine innings, whether it's in the field or when he comes up at bat.
Right.
And he has had an impact on this team. You look at the meeting. And I think social media, too, nowadays, you get so much more insight to what goes into the preparation of this game and what bounces these teams back into good graces. And Lindor, you know, every time the Mets have had a rough patch, something he does or something he's capable of doing has put us back on the map.
Right.
And for Ohtani to get this, to Tommy's point, it's just like, then just hand it to him every year because you know that's what's going to happen. But when you look at what Francisco Lindor has done and how he's turned his season around.
Yeah, but you know what's not fair about what you just said? And I guess Tommy said it too because you quoted him. Ohtani's earned the MVP if he wins it. Mm-hmm. It's not like he just rolled out on the field, they're going to hand it to him. He's having a monster season.
But I think what Kendrick was trying to say is it almost feels easy for Ohtani.
Well, it's easy because he has massive numbers.
Oh, I know. But
this isn't the NBA.
But he always does.
Okay, well, so then you deserve to win the MVP.
It's like it's too easy. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's just...
Because think about it. Like, when you talk about him being the only one, he's so unique because of the pitching acumen.
But we're not even talking about pitching. He's not pitching this year. I'm talking about his MLB offensive stats. They're far better than everybody else.
Hold on. Hear me out. So we talk about how good he is at both. But do you know how hard it is to be good at just one?
Right.
And he's great at both.
Right.
And so to me, it tells me it's easy for him. I know he works hard. I'm not diminishing his work ethic and things of that nature, but he's able to be great at both at the same time. No one else has done that.
I got you.
In the history of the game.
I got you.
It'd be like playing quarterback and middle linebacker in the NFL. It's so hard.
But why should that diminish the monster season he's having?
It's not diminishing it at all. But I think what Kendrick is saying is that he's so good that he's never going to have a bad season.
I know, but the problem is, and I'm getting this now from Met fans, and I remember hearing this from Yankee fans, is in your passion for your player and your argument that they should be the MVP, you start bad-mouthing a guy who doesn't deserve to be bad-mouthed.
I'm not doing that. All I'm saying is
he has 44 home runs this year with an OPS of 1,000. He's really good.
All I'm saying is it's easy for him.
Okay. Well, it could be easy for him. It could be hard for him. If you have those kinds of offensive numbers and you're on the best team in the National League, and they are the best team in the National League, then that's usually deserving of being the MVP.
But they were the best team in the National League last year.
Okay, what about this year? Freddie Freeman missed time and Mookie Betts was on the IL, and their starting pitching is up and down. Last year isn't this year.
But the Mets have the best record since, I think, like Memorial Day.
Okay.
So if they get in the playoffs,
three games better than the Dodgers since Memorial Day. I'll give you that.
The Dodgers, would you agree, are not on the pace as far as wins that everyone expected, and the Mets are above the pace?
That's not relevant to the topic.
Yes, it is, because Lindor's value to this Mets roster and this team is higher than the Dodgers, who won 100-something games last year without Ohtani.
But that's last year. Last year,
they still have a lot of the same players.
No, but Mookie Betts was on the injured list this year.
Okay, but starting pitching is a mess.
Freddie Freeman was away for about 3 weeks. Mm. He was dealing with a horrible issue. I think his son was very sick.
Yes,
there are factors from this year that aren't relevant to last year. And, like, I hate doing this, but I did this with Yankee fans. Like, now we're just picking apart Ohtani and the Dodgers. Now we're just going to try to destroy him.
No,
like, he's hit 44 home runs and he has a 1,000 OPS. And the Dodgers are the best team in the National League. Like,
I think he's
great.
He's
got a pretty damn good case for the MVP.
Of course he does.
And so does Lindor.
And so does
Lindor.
And you know who else?
The problem is people are dismissing Lindor because of Ohtani.
No. We're not dismissing Lindor. It seems like right now we're dismissing Ohtani.
No.
We're excusing it as, well, the Dodgers are always good. It's so easy for him. I've heard like five different excuses for why he doesn't deserve it.
You have to contrast because it's the only way to differentiate them, right? If you're going to put it solely on numbers, then Ohtani's going to win. Right, he's gonna win the argument.
It's not solely on numbers. It's part of it's on numbers, and the other part is the Dodgers, like I said, have the best record in the National League. And taking away the first 2 months because it doesn't fit your argument doesn't work
either.
Okay,
and so how do they determine that?
How does who determine it?
The impact on winning for a team. How do they do that?
They try to do it based on WAR.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a thing called WAR. Who has the top WAR in the National League?
That's a category for Lindor, as is his defense. Like, I get it. Like, Lindor has arguments for him, but attacking Ohtani and using the same tired things I heard Yankee fans use of, it's not fair, they're just handing it to him. They're not handing it to him. He's hit 44 home runs with a 1,000 OPS. Nobody's handing anything to him. He's performing. And I know we don't like him.
Right.
I know we think something happened with the gambling, and we don't like that he's in L.A.
I've never said I didn't like him.
Well, it's not you specifically. It's just the general conversation.
I think fans are frustrated that, especially Met fans, are frustrated that Lindor is not getting the love he deserves.
But a part of that is that he's really good. It's like Yankee fans being frustrated during the Judge Ohtani discussion over the last few years. He's very good. It's not like it's on its own.
But there seems to be some animus against him.
Against whom?
Lindor. And
I don't think that's the case. His numbers aren't as good as Ohtani's.
Does he ever win the Golden Glove?
Yes. He's won the Gold Glove.
How many?
I'd have to look it up.
How many does he deserve? More than one.
You know why it's a very tough question?
Right.
We're not watching every shortstop every day to know in comparison how good he is. He's won 2 Gold Gloves. He's won a Platinum Glove. Both of those Gold Gloves are in the American League, though. Has not won a National League Gold Glove. So what are you saying? People hate Francisco Lindor?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think anybody hates him.
It starts on this radio station, by the way.
Yeah, but not anymore. People have turned.
Of course, you can't. You have to stand up and accept you were wrong.
He is making a very strong case for the MVP.
Yeah.
And I hope he wins it, because if he wins it, it means the Mets have made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.